Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. The Reverend Dr. Steve Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The text appointed for this day is a reading from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the men saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let go of me, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you had striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The text appointed for this day, a particular portion, the basis for our homily. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. This event in Genesis is amazing, perplexing and troubling and wonderful. We see salvation, sanctification, justification, and when you look carefully, you see the wonder and beauty of how far the Lord is willing to go to save his people from their sin. This is about a wrestling match, a dislocation of a hip, a blessing so indelible that it changes the course of human history. This event has a deep, resonant meaning to God's people, to you, to me, the children of Israel. The children of Israel do not eat sinew from the thigh out of respect. The prophet Hosea quotes this event. But this story reveals the character of God, and it points to the cross of Christ for our salvation. Let me throttle back a bit. Jacob's name in Hebrew means heel, as in the heel of Esau that Jacob grabbed as he was being born as a twin. It can mean also supplanter, one who supersedes by force or treachery. Well, Jacob lives up to his name. He took advantage of Esau's hunger and thirst. He manipulated Daddy Isaac, knowing he had bad eyes. So Jacob used treachery. He stole the birthright from his brother Esau. Remember how it went down? Isaac said, "What is your name?" Jacob said, "Esau." Anyway, you know how things went. Jacob fled. Esau was enraged. Jacob, while he fled, he spent the night in Bethel. There he had a dream, Jacob's ladder. So you have the fleeing of Esau, you have nighttime, you have a dream, you have angels, you have the Lord God. All are important and set the stage for what happens in Genesis 32. Oh, we remember he outmaneuvered Laban by trickery. That's no small task. Laban was almost as good as Jacob was at manipulation and obfuscation. Jacob leaves Laban and heads back with his family, and this massive trove of property, sheep and goats and cattle and servants and grain and so on, a huge amount, plus his wives and children. And so at this point in Genesis 32, Jacob has come full circle. He hasn't seen Esau in about 20 years. He is very afraid. So Jacob tries to placate by sending emissaries to Esau. We don't know if the emissaries even saw Esau, but when they came back, they said, oh, by the way, Jacob, your brother Esau is coming to you, and he's bringing a force of 400 men. And so Jacob's anxiety and fear gets throttled into high gear. Jacob divides his camp into two camps. And if I could digress for a minute, in my time in the army, that's probably one of the dumbest things you can do. You never divide your forces if you know of an impending attack. You always want to consolidate and pick particular ground and so on and so forth. When I preached a sermon to soldiers a couple of years ago, the biggest questions they had about Genesis 32 wasn't who wrestled with Jacob or why. And they wanted to know, what was Jacob thinking? What tactical thought did he have to divide his forces? You have to know your audience, I suppose. But after establishing camp, Jacob goes back across the Jabbok. It's curious that the Hebrew name, the root for Jabbok, is to empty oneself. He sends his wives to one of the camps and he's alone. Like the dream at Bethel, it was dark. He was tired. He was alone. Scripture wants us to know that Jacob was empty, that Jacob was out of gas. Loneliness and isolation drive a person to what I would call bad decision making and despair. Alone, in the dark, no clear path concerning a serious threat in front of you. Wow. St. John of the Cross described this in his Dark Night of the Soul concerning what happens to us spiritually when we come to this point. The American author F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote that in a real dark night of the soul, it's always 3 o'clock in the morning. You're alone in your weaknesses, anxieties, and looking down into the very depth of chasm. In this darkness, God comes to Jacob. Scripture says they wrestled. There was no precursor. There was no bell. There was no referee explaining the Hebrew. The Hebrew root word for wrestle is dust. So when you hear of people getting into a fight, sometimes you hear the word, we got into a real dust up. During one of my deployments, two massive soldiers were medevaced to my surgical hospital. And these were big, big soldiers. Both of them were covered in dirt and dust. One had a broken shoulder and a bruised rib. The other a ruptured blood vessel behind his right eye and a significant injury to his arm. So I asked them what happened. Neither one of them said anything at first. And then one of them smiled. When he smiled, he had a missing tooth. And he said, well, chaplain, we had a dust up. I asked, why did you have a dust up? Why did you get in a fight? He says, oh, I don't know. Something about cutting in line for morning chow. This was a dust up. This is a dust up between God and Jacob. This type of wrestling is very dangerous. It's pitch black, tree roots, holes, sharp rocks. We don't even know what time the wrestling started, but it was a long match. I wrestled in high school. 3 rounds, 2 minutes each. I'll tell you what, you were exhausted. My grandpa was a professional wrestler. He was called the Fighting Finn after my ethnic background. And his opponent and he would throw each other around the ring in places like Mitchell, South Dakota, would grapple for a couple of hours. But that was it. Now, this match between God and Jacob went until God put an end to it. The sun was coming up. It was time to dislocate Jacob's his hip. But it still didn't end. Jacob said, I won't let go until you bless me. And now we revisit the whole naming business. Jacob the supplanter. Jacob the one whose name means to succeed by treachery was blessed with a new name, a new identity that we will never forget, Israel, which means he struggled with man and with God and has persevered. Now, this was not a dream. This was not a wrestling match with an angel. The earlier passages in Genesis make clear what an angel looks like. This was God. This was the proto-incarnate Christ. This is where God reveals himself in human form to humanity. Now, I find it interesting that many attempts are made to what I would call rescue God from this passage. You know, like, this can't be God. God wouldn't wrestle with someone. He would kill them. Surely he would send an angel. God is too busy, too concerned with God's stuff, creating the universe, making wonderful things out of nothing, holding the world and all things in their place in this fragile universe. Yes, that's it. An angel could do the job. But take a moment and think what this passage is saying. We are in the season of Lent, a time where we reflect on the passion of Christ, his death on the cross. So, look at the cross. See the body hanging from its beam. Would God dare to come in human form? Would God enter humanity and be as dirt for his children that he loves so dearly? Would God not risk getting wounded and injured and possibly die in encountering his children for the sake of redemption? Yes, he would. Yes, he did. In Isaiah 53, we read, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Luther, in his commentary on Genesis 32, paints an even darker picture of Jacob wrestling with God. And he does so to show how wonderful this encounter truly is. To Luther, this is a dusty, earthy, and even vulgar event. Luther wants us to consider that as they wrestled, God was talking smack to Jacob. He was jaw-jacking with him. He was talking trash to Jacob. "Come on, buddy. You don't stand a chance. You think you're God's special boy? I got something special for you." And then they lock again. Jacob's response was, "I won't let you go." This is no longer Jacob, but the Holy Spirit in Jacob reaching out in faith and grabbing on to the Lord God. Luther continues, "This is a statement of immovable faith. Faith, the promise, and indeed this weakness of faith. In this manner, God is conquered when faith does not leave off, is not wearied, and does not cease but presses and urges on." This is like other moments in Scripture where the Holy Spirit demonstrates faith. In Matthew 15, we read how a Canaanite woman came to Jesus. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said, and now she's fighting back. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This is the same Holy Spirit who enters us at baptism, the same who creates faith in our hearts and carries us through those tough times, even unto life everlasting. This event occurs even when we wrestle with sin, death, the power of the devil, and as Luther would say, and with God. If Christ wrestles with someone like Jacob, now Israel, imagine the good things that come when we wrestle with Jesus. As you look at Jacob wrestling with Jesus, we are reminded of his love on the cross. And there we see the length of what he's willing to do, to set aside his humanity, to die, to bless us, to rise, and to grant us salvation, to rise from the dead as we too will someday. Don't let go. Don't ever let go until you are blessed by the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Sean Found, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.